It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. And thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate each and every one of you out there today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart. Take care of your soul. Take care of your mind. We're hoping to help on that and take care of your body. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. All the recaps and podcasts of the show can be found there. Just click on the picture, and it will take you to that particular show's recap. And sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast, our most recent op-eds. And that's just keep you informed. We don't overwhelm you. It's once a week. And very rarely would we send another email unless something really important was happening, because we want to respect that inbox that you have that can get overwhelming sometimes. We have a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Patty Kergan. She is our researcher. She's a contributing author to the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Hard Left Turn and a Warning to America. Second segment, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio. I have some questions about this COVID-19 Wuhan virus vaccine. And Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And then Jay Davidson is the president and CEO of First American State Bank. And he really understands the American idea. We'll be talking about capitalism versus socialism and just some of the other things going on out there. Before we get into all of that, though, you know we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And our quote for today is from Larry Kudlow. And I chose this because Jay was going to be on the show today, and we're going to be talking about capitalism. And Larry Kudlow is the director of the United States National Economic Council. He assumed that role in 2018 after previous employment as a financial analyst and as a television financial news host. He began his career as a junior financial analyst at the New York Federal Reserve. He was born in 1947. And he said this, Steve. He said, "We were endowed by our Creator with the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We were not endowed by the federal government. We were not endowed by entitlements. We were not endowed by pork barrel spending. We were not endowed by budgetary earmarks." I thought that was pretty good, Steve.
That's classic. But as you're reading it, I'm thinking of Joe Biden trying to quote that that phrase in there. Is like, we were endowed by the thing, you know.
You know that. Oh, it's so interesting you'd bring up Joe Biden, because the Epic Times has reported that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware is investigating Hunter Biden's taxes. And this is what, let's see. Oh, gosh. Hunter said, "I learned yesterday for the first time that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware advised my legal counsel also yesterday that they were investigating my tax affairs," the younger Biden said in a statement. He says, "I take this matter very seriously, but I am confident that a professional and objective review of these matters will demonstrate that I handled my affairs legally and appropriately, including with the benefit of professional tax advisors." We don't have a lot of time to go into this, but we need to keep an eye on this. And I think the one thing I want to mention is projection. I guess I can mention that also about Eric Swalwell, who is the congressman from California, who continued to stay on Trump regarding, you know, the impeachment and the Russia affair. Apparently, he had a very close relationship with a Chinese spy.
Very close.
And here we have Hunter. Yeah, very close. I won't say anything else. And here we have Hunter Biden on his taxes. Everything they have been talking about and accusing Donald Trump of, they have been doing. They've just been projecting that onto Donald Trump. So, my friends, you can take a look at whatever they've been saying. that's what they're doing. And you can almost take that to the bank. Let's get over here to Patty Kurgan right now. She's a researcher, and she is a contributing author to the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Hard Left Turn and a Warning to America. Patty, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
I so appreciate this daily update, and I know the amount of research that you're doing to keep us informed on what is happening in the battleground states. What do you have for us today?
Yesterday, I had mentioned that Texas had filed a suit against four states, and it appears now there are 17 states that have joined on to the suit. According to the Epoch Times, 17 states are urging the U.S. Supreme Court to take up Texas' request to challenge the 2020 election results in four battleground states. The states, led by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, filed a friend of the court brief on December 9th, which was yesterday, underscoring that the case filed by Texas is of great public importance and requires the attention of the nation's court. The Lone Star State alleges that the four key battleground states unconstitutionally changed election laws, treated voters unequally, and triggered significant voting irregularities by relaxing ballot integrity measures. The state said that they have a strong interest in protecting the separation of powers and how elections are regulated. When election officials make changes to the rules governing elections, these non-legislative actors may have encroached on the power given to state legislators by the Electors Clause in the United States Constitution. The changes made by the defendant states to mail-in voting rules during the COVID-19 pandemic, the 17 states argued, would have likely enhanced the risk of election fraud since they strip away safeguards protecting against fraudulent behavior. Some of these changes include removing signature verification, extending the deadline to receive mail-in ballots, and failing to implement consistent statewide standards for the handling of mail-in ballots. The states that are supporting the Texas suit, which all have Republican attorneys, generals, are Missouri, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. To me, Kim, this is astonishing. We have over one-third of the states now addressing this and going to the Supreme Court. The court has ordered that the defendant states need to respond to this Texas motion by 3 o'clock today. We'll see what's going on. Interesting enough, President Donald Trump, as reported by Epoch Times, said that he and members of his legal team would join as interveners. The lawsuit brought by Texas, and they said an intervention in legal terms is a procedure that lets a non-party join ongoing litigation if the case affects the rights of that party. The court considering an application to intervene, in this case the U.S. Supreme Court, has the discretion to allow or deny such a request. Now, I think, Kim, I can say with 100% no doubts whatsoever that Colorado will never join this suit. Can we all agree on that?
I think you're right. 101% you can say that, Patty.
Right. Okay. However, we do have a Colorado connection. You, as well as your show, John C. Eastman, he has been on our show. We've interviewed him, his wife as well. And he's actually counsel of record for Donald Trump in the intervention. I find that fascinating. He, as we all know, he's the visiting scholar in conservative thought and policy at CU Boulder. He's also the Henry Salvador Professor of Law and Community Service at Chapman University. And obviously, he's an expert in constitutional law. And if people Google it, they'll be able to see it.
Search it, DuckDuckGo it. Do the DuckDuck search engine, right?
Exactly. So,
because if they Google it, they might not find it. You know what, Patty? If you Google it, you might not find it.
You're right. Actually, it did come up as the number one for me when I did it this morning.
Did it? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Hey,
interestingly enough.
Can I jump in the middle of this for a second? I thought it was interesting that the states that are being, will become, I guess, the defendants, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, at least one of them, if not all of them by now, have dismissed this as a publicity ploy. Now, what do you think of that?
Correct. They have. Well, it's just like a YouTube video. They sent out a warning yesterday that they're going to scrub any type of video that doesn't state that Biden is the president-elect.
This is totally astonishing. It is totally astonishing. But this, Patty, seems to me like the big one. This seems like the one that should be able to make it to the Supreme Court. Or it's there. Do they have to decide if they're going to accept it? Or is that by 3 o'clock this afternoon? And what is that again that's happening
again,
today?
Again, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the defendants have to respond to the motion.
Okay.
Set in place by Texas and supported by the other 17 states. What's interesting is some of the states that are being sued, one is Wisconsin. So on Friday, the Wisconsin's Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections will hold a hearing on the 2020 presidential election. And that is where Representative Ron Tussler, the Republican chairman of the committee, hopes to get a clearer picture about the outcome. And this comes from Fox News. And they state that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel interviewed Tussler in a report Wednesday and said the Republican indicated that he is not sure about which candidate actually carried the state and its 10 electoral votes, and said he might help the state's GOP-controlled legislature attempt to flip the state for President Trump. So here's one of the states that's being sued. And in Georgia, the governor has insisted that he doesn't have the power to call the legislators, but they can call themselves.
Okay.
It's just an interesting course of events going on here.
It is a big day, my friends. We are watching history. I think we're watching the American idea. What is going to happen with that? You can take a look at all the people that Joe Biden is announcing that will be in his cabinet and these key positions. And you can see which way we have a clear, very divergent path here. And I pray that this lawsuit can be victorious, because I believe in the American idea. Patty, I so appreciate this research that you're doing. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 24 hours? We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds great. Have a good day.
You bet. And before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. These small businesses, we need to continue to just really support them through this difficult time with Governor Polis and these bureaucrats shutting down our businesses or restricting them, which in essence will shut them down. It breaks my heart when I go by and see different businesses that have gone out of business. And so let's make sure that we support particularly my great partners, and that's Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have great to-go menu, a lot of great specials. I did a to-go menu last night, some of that great barbecue shrimp and some of their smoked wings, just delicious. Go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We will be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away.
Oh, Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. While you're at the website, be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It keeps you totally informed of all of the upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and our most recent podcasts. And speaking of podcasts, I've done several with Dr. Jill Vecchio to delve deeper into these issues. You know that she does so much research, and she was one of the few people in America that read the complete Affordable Care, also known as the Obamacare legislation. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Okay, vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination. It's all over the news. What do you think about this?
Well, there are two that are close, and we've talked about them before, that are starting to be used in the UK. And this is as of, there's a Wall Street Journal article from yesterday afternoon. It was updated yesterday afternoon. Wall Street Journal Online, about some of the problems they were having. The reactions, this is the Pfizer vaccine that's being used in the UK on healthcare workers. A couple of them have had severe allergic reactions, like an anaphylactic reaction, as if they had to use an EpiPen kind of thing, which is, that's a very severe reaction, the kind that can kill you if it's not treated pretty quickly. They have a list of a lot of the side effects, and apparently, especially the second dose of this two-dose regimen of the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna claims that their side effects were less. Things like flu, similar to the COVID, but it's not, you know, similar to the symptoms people have with the COVID virus, but not as severe, and obviously it's not overtly the COVID virus. So a lot of the typical vaccine-related side effects, but more severe with the Pfizer one, according to this, although people really haven't been getting the Moderna vaccine diffusely. And it's funny that they didn't tell us about all of these before anybody started getting, you know, the vaccine on a wide population basis. We're just now finding these out, which is interesting.
And on that note, some of the research that I've been doing and some of the things that people that have done a lot of research regarding vaccines has told me is that the one place that you get all the truth about a vaccine is that insert that comes with the vaccine. Many times we don't get those when we go and get a vaccine, but I think people should ask for that, because that's where legally they have to tell the truth on that, is my understanding, Jill.
That's true, and I wouldn't wait until you're there, physically there, because the package insert has a lot of teeny tiny little print, and bring your magnifying glass. And also, you can get the package insert, just Google it online. Just do a search for whatever, like a Moderna COVID vaccine package insert, and it'll come up in a PDF, so you can actually read it ahead of time. And that is where you need to do it, because I don't know a single person, with all the vaccines that I've had to have as a healthcare provider over the years, I have never had an informed consent, not once. They'll say, are you allergic to eggs or something, you know, when you sign this little basic form. There is no informed consent with these vaccines, never.
Okay.
You have to look it up yourself.
I think that's the thing that people really need to get informed on, because people might be rushing to the front of the line to try to get the vaccine, and it's like, wait a minute, you want to be informed, I want to be informed on this. I saw, and I'll be paraphrasing this, but there was a Ben Shapiro tweet just recently. They said that, I think it was the Pfizer vaccine is saying that they have a 95% success rate. I have to ask, I can't quite believe that within, so the virus, we really started to know about it in February. I find it hard to believe that you can bring a vaccine to market and have a 95% effective rate. And we know the flu, you've said, is sometimes 50 to 60% effective, Jill. It's just not passing the smell test with me.
Right. At best, the flu virus is 60 to 70% effective in certain age groups that are by definition the age groups that have the lowest risk of a really bad outcome with the flu, right? The elderly, it's between 15 and 70%. For the elderly that are at risk for being severely ill from the flu, and the virus and the vaccine doesn't have a good track record for being that effective. This is we talked about, I think, last week. This is an RNA virus, which means it is highly susceptible to mutation. So whatever vaccine you're coming out with now, months later, right, takes months and months, which is remarkably quick for this kind of a vaccine. But the first one of its kind, they've had bad experiences trying to come up with vaccines for coronavirus because obviously somebody's going, well, let's never get the common cold again, right? So they've been working on coronavirus vaccines for decades, and not been successful over the years. There was an article actually written by Anthony Fauci, among others from the CDC and this group of docs, early on in this COVID pandemic. Anthony Fauci and others wrote an article that's there's a link to it, I believe, on the CDC website. I go to the CDC website or just Google Anthony Fauci COVID vaccine paper, like research paper. Okay. And they talked about all the difficulties, and there have been some terrible vaccine reactions to coronavirus vaccines in the past that they've tried. So this is new that they've got all this success with COVID-19 vaccines, and they couldn't do it in the past. So that's kind of, you know, eyebrow raising to begin with, claiming a 95% or 94% effectiveness is the term they use. Effective. Well, okay. Wow, really? What was the time span that you looked at? What portion of the virus is this vaccine against that it's recognizing all of these cases? And, you know, if there's a mutation, which we know there's going to be a mutation in this coronavirus, there probably already has been mutation, is it going to cover those people? What kind of mutations is it going to cover? There's so many unanswered questions. Just to claim 94 or 95% effectiveness, does that just mean that you're making antibodies? The people that get the vaccine are making antibodies to whatever part of the virus is being exposed to their body in the vaccine? So there are way too many questions to just give a blanket statement like that. But that's what the press does, because they don't know how any of this stuff works. They don't know. They don't understand, and they're the ones that are supposed to be giving us information on it.
Right. And I saw something, I'm paraphrasing, it was a Ben Shapiro tweet, and he said, so the Pfizer vaccine is 94-95% effective, but he said 99.95% of people that get COVID recover. That seems like a better number than 94%. I think people need to understand that it is not a death sentence if you get COVID. I'm running into more and more people that have had COVID, and a lot of them said that I've lost my sense of smell or my sense of taste for a little while, but they've recovered. We have a 99.95% recovery rate, or darn close. Am I right on that, Jill, or what are you seeing on that?
Oh, it's beyond that. It's like 95% for the oldest population. I think it's over 80 years old. It's a 95% recovery rate. Less than below 80 years old, it's a 99.5 and above recovery rate. And let's face it, you may be sick for longer. You may have, you know, not that many people are getting really, really sick. Although here in Iowa, I tell you what, everybody knows somebody that's been in the hospital and has died from it. I mean, it's crazy here. Yeah, I mean, it's, and apparently it's the same way in Michigan and Kansas City, I'm hearing from friends. So it's odd that you wonder, and there are two strains in the U.S. That's the other thing. They're already documented that there are two strains, one that came in from the East Coast from Europe, one that came in from the West Coast from China. So there's a difference in the severity of those.
Oh, my gosh. That's the first I've heard of that. Dr. Jill, this segment on Thursdays is so informative, but people can learn more through the podcast that we've done together. And then we're going to record a podcast next week that will go out in the newsletter. I so appreciate you sharing your knowledge and your research with us.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, what's your thoughts on these vaccines?
You know, I'm kind of with what you were saying. This virus is 99.99% ineffective, so I don't think the vaccine really has very much work to do.
Okay, there, that's a good point. What about the markets? What happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday, Kim, was a little bit of a day. It looked like a bit of profit-taking. The Dow was down. Let's see here. Sorry, my charts are being slow on me, which I know you don't need today because your time is tight. Okay, so NASDAQ took it on the chin a little bit worse. NASDAQ was down about 243 points, which is about 2%. Decent increase in volume. I guess the Dow was more mild, down only 105, which is only about 0.3%. So it looked like just some profit-taking came in. You know, a little bit of, you know, still concerned about the stimulus and then also you know, about the vaccines maybe not being quite as perfect as initially thought.
Well, Jason, we are now, what, December 10th, and there are things that people can do. There's a lot of unknowns out there, but there is an unknown, or there is a known right now, and that is what this tax rate is this year. And people can take advantage of that by sitting down with you and doing a discovery session and just seeing if there's things that can be done to save them money in taxes. They can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And, Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank. We'll be talking about capitalism versus socialism, the American idea versus communism. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as the most recent podcasts, the most recent op-eds, but all that can be found on my website. And sign up, or I mentioned sign up for our weekly newsletter, but go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We're trying to figure out all the social media stuff, but we do appreciate it if you give us a like at Facebook. On the line with me is one of my sponsors, and that is Jay Davidson. He is the CEO, founder of First American State Bank. It is a community bank located right here in the metro area. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it.
My gosh, Jay, there is so much going on in our world today. When we first started this partnership together, I never really dreamed that we would be where we are right now. And there seems to be a push towards socialism, communism here in America. And Donald Trump said we will never have socialism in America. But it seems like there are those that are sure trying to push it through right now, Jay Davidson.
Well, my dad used to say, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you. And believe me, there is a strong, it's an outright movement. And it's come to the forefront. They've actually said it now. The Democrats, or actually the left, not Democrats, but the left, like Barack Obama said, I will fundamentally change America. This is what he meant by it. Barack Obama is at heart a communist, as Joe Biden is basically empty, but the people that are running Joe, the puppet masters behind Joe, are absolute communists. And there's a major theme going down here where for about 70 years, the communists were working behind the scenes and under the cover through subterfuge and infiltration. The communists own the education system. They own the media, entertainment, and they have subtly gone about changing people's minds, what I would consider perverting truth and fact to their distorted view of the world. So the fact of the matter is, Kim, don't be paranoid. They are out to get you, and there's no two ways about it.
Jay, I think, as you mentioned, 70 years, of course, we go back to Woodrow Wilson, who was a quote-unquote progressive president, and that is where we saw some of these constitutional amendments that were quote-unquote progressive. I would submit to you that they are regressive. One of those was to start the income tax, to tax people's income. And the old adage is if you want to get less of something, you tax it. And certainly, I think the American idea, that the ideas that were put in place, we've been, I think, skating on fumes for many, many years of what was built before this whole progressive agenda came in to play. But we are now at a point where we're going to have to stand and make the case for the American idea, make the case for property rights, make the case for real capitalism, which is a trading of value for value. And it's right now, it's staring us in the face. And how do we take a stand? It's what we're doing every day to be on the radio to help you get your brains around these issues. And then, Jay, you are very active in keeping people informed within your sphere of influence as well, because I know that this is on your heart also.
Well, it certainly is. Wilson was a terrible president. I mean, he did more damage to America than just about any president besides Barack Obama, in my opinion. And these constitutional amendments that moved us toward taxes, let's talk about taxation a little bit. It's just so easy for the left. I'm not going to use the term Democrat because they're not Democrats anymore. They're the left.
But they've taken over the Democrat Party.
Yeah, absolutely. So the point is that they say, well, let's tax the rich. Well, you could take 100% of the income from the rich, and that wouldn't even start to fund the federal government for a day or two. So how absurd is this? You're not going to just tax the rich folks. They're going to tax you, me, and everybody else. Now, consider the legality, the morality, the constitutionality of a tax. You have worked, you as an individual have worked in the public sector. You have put in your own capital, your own blood, sweat, and tears. You made the effort to build a wage or build a business. And a government, an all-powerful government, it appears now, can come in and say, your tax, I'm going to tax you X amount. Folks, this is why the Revolutionary War started. That's why the Tea Party started. This was the whole thing. It was taxation without representation. Now, I don't mind paying something for infrastructure. I owe that to the government. I owe that to the people. I owe that to whatever you want to call it. I drive these roads. Well, I didn't pay for all that myself, but I'm willing to pay a portion of it. What I totally object to is that certain politicians, Republican and Democrat, by the way, have no problem with increasing our tax rates. The Bushes did that to us, and I voted for them, but they did it. Mitt Romney, great guy, but you know what? Mitt likes taxes. Sorry. Go down the line, and there's a whole group of Republicans that don't get it. And the Democrats are the left is even worse than the Republicans are. So when they take money from you and me, they're taking our ability away from us to reinvest our capital that we earned through our efforts into our businesses and grow it. What happens when we grow our business? More people are employed. More people have a salary. More people have medical insurance coverage through their employer. more people are doing better than they would have had there been some government program out there that is supposedly going to help them.
And so, government programs pick winners and losers. There's not enough money to go around to give away to everybody. So then government gets into picking winners and losers instead of everybody being equal under the law.
Yeah, that's a good point. They do pick winners and losers by where they funnel the money, like Solyndra. Perfect example of a totally inept government decision to fund an outfit that went bankrupt, but in the process got hundreds of millions of dollars from the taxpayer. This funding, this government funding, is the antithesis of free markets. And what's free markets? I think the best definition of free market is the definition of free trade, fair trade. Willing buyer, willing seller, without outside coercion. That defines the value of a transaction. Not some government entity coming in here and taxing me and you to give to some poor guy because he can't pay off his college debt. That is not free market. That is a distortion of the market. And if we as Americans believe in freedom, think about the power of the federal government to come in and arbitrarily increase your taxation, arbitrarily legislate and regulate your business and tell you what to do. Is that freedom? Well, why are we growing our federal government? Why are we relying on an entity that has proven itself to be totally and absolutely incompetent?
Well, and how fair is it? You mentioned college debt, and of course we're seeing that Joe Biden says that they're kicking around the idea of getting rid of people's college debt. First of all, how fair is that to just erase that? Somebody has to pay it because those professors got paid. Are they willing to give that money back that they got paid? I think that's an important question. But how is it fair that somebody that decided not to go to college is being taxed to pay for somebody that did go to college? That is unfair, as I see it.
Or how about the individual who made it through college, paid his own way, paid his debt off, or didn't take on any debt, whichever way. And that person then goes out, is making his or her own money, and that person who already paid for his or her own college education is going to pay again for some deadbeat that can't understand that underwater basket weaving, a university course in underwater basket weaving is not going to make them any money when they get out the door. But they take on $50,000 in debt to go into this social warfare, justice warfare plan that they have going. I mean, it's so simple to figure it out, folks. There are certain degrees that make money. There are other degrees that don't make any money. It's all out there. It's all available. Look at it. Don't go into teaching thinking that you're going to make $150,000 a year. You're not, at least not in grade school.
Okay, a quick comment on this, though, because all of this has gotten connected. And I remember when I was serving on city council, and I have one semester of college, Jay, but I've always been a voracious reader, always had intellectual curiosity, and have ended up a success in several different careers because I worked hard and I had the tools from a good classical liberal education to make that happen. But there was an ordinance or something presented to us when I was on city council that said that there would be a stipulation that every police officer would have a college degree. And I voted against it, I think. I'm pretty sure that I did, because it didn't make sense to me. It then put in place a situation where somebody that might be really good, had great training on the job, that they could not be a police officer if they did not have that degree. And it didn't stipulate that the degree had to be in criminal justice or anything, just that degree. And that is, I think, something that was somewhat insidious to fuel this whole, quote-unquote, higher education situation we've gotten into, Jay.
No, I agree with that. A college degree is only as good as the student. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with the teacher. And there are some great teachers and some poor teachers, but it's the student. The student learns. The teacher doesn't teach. And you can learn on your own without a college degree, or you can go to the college and learn there. So that's pretty much irrelevant.
But they're making it a stipulation to get some of these jobs that you don't really need to have a college degree for.
Yeah, exactly. And are they feeding back into the education system? Look at the mill that the education system has become. Consider back when the localities, the municipalities, the counties made decisions on the curriculum that the schools would teach. Then somebody came up with a brilliant idea that really sounds good, but underneath it's not so good. We need a universal system. We need to train everybody in the same thing at the same time. Well, that's the beginning of our education system that exists today. And, oh, by the way, we're the federal government. We're the only ones that can administer this unique, this uniform education system. So now we have a federal government involved in making a curriculum and deciding on the books and so on and so forth that our children, our young, impressionable children are going to read. And then, oh, wow, the government now controls the curriculum. The curriculum starts to move to the left. And the 1619 project is a catastrophe. So the education system moves less left. I can't talk today. Mm-hmm. The ion's in the air. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know, it's expensive to go to college. We'll just do some student loans. Okay, bankers, you go out there and you do the student loans. Well, guess what? When a banker was involved putting his money on the line, lending it, that student was pretty well vetted by the time he or she got the money. And the failure rate was bad, but it wasn't horrendous. And then the government backstopped the banks on the losses, so we didn't take 100% of the loss, we took a part. Now, the bankers are cut out. The commercial guys that know how to make a loan and how to get repaid are out of it. It's the government totally making these loans through Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and other organizations that are government-owned, government entities. And what's happening here? We see the price of education going through the roof. When my kids went to CU, it was like $6,000-$8,000 a year. What's it today for an in-state kid?
Oh, 30? thousands, 40? Yes.
Yeah. So the cost of education has gone up. And the outcome of the education has gone down. Our student standings in ACTs and SATs and so forth across the world have been declining for decades. Yeah,
we're pumping all this money in, and the results are dismal. And so once you get government involved, certainly the quality goes down and the price goes up. Jay Davidson, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have a wider range of selection, whether or not you are a collector or a sportsman, you need something for the kitchen, how about a utility knife that you'd like to give as a gift. Be sure and check out castlegate.com. They have all of their inventory up on their website. It's been updated, but it's also great to just get a little taste of Americana and head out to Sedalia and visit Castlegate Knife and Tool and do some of your Christmas shopping. We will be right back with Jay Davidson.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. On the line with me is one of my partners, sponsors, and that is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, CEO of First American State Bank. It's a community bank located right here in the metro area. And community banks, Jay Davidson, those are the banks that have really, I think, funded the American idea. Everyday people going out and risking their capital and coming to a banker with a good idea and putting themselves on the line to go after their American dream. And it's been the community banks that have made that happen, Jay Davidson.
Well, I tend to agree with that. My grandfather started a bank in 1903, which is still in the family up in North Dakota. He went through the Great Depression, the World Wars, came out strong and fine, but he did it based on helping his community, which is a small town in North Dakota of maybe 10,000 people. It's not a very big a big place, but some of the most decent people you'd ever want to meet are there. And it's one of the pleasures of owning and running a community bank is dealing with people that you get to know. It's such a gratifying event when you make a loan to a guy or gal, a person, excuse me, I've got to be properly whatever pronoun out here. When you make a loan and that, you know, obviously the loan pays off and that person used that money to grow his or her business, employ more people, there's nothing more gratifying than that. The downside to banking is regulation.
Yes.
You know, when I started 40, 50 years ago, it was like, here's the rules. We'll both abide by them, both the banks and the regulators. Now the rules are changed every day. Now they can get so oppressive that they can destroy a bank. And it's happening in private business.
Oh, my gosh.
Too. Yeah,
it is. And I'd like to talk about, we were going to talk about communism, the American idea of property rights. Before we do that, though, we're talking about college debt. And Jay, I've thought, how about if we're going to pay off college debt, how about having these big endowments that these colleges have? How about using that money to pay off those college debts? What do you think of that idea?
Well, my first principle on any consideration of any action is the sanctity of the individual. And I believe that you have a right to the capital that you have accrued, to the property that you have accrued, and no one else has a right to that, period. Same with the endowments. I mean, you know, I'd love to agree with you, Kim, but the endowments, however they did it, it was all donations, I'm sure, and contributions, but, you know, they raised that money. An entity owns that. And I think that's sacred. I would be against infringing on the endowments, although I know what you're saying and I understand it. But if we want to get to the real problem, core of the problem, I think looking to the government's involvement in education is where we need to go.
I think you're absolutely right. Let's talk a little bit about socialism and communism. And I've had this big aha just recently, Jay, and I think about this stuff a lot, and that is that socialism and communism, they're so closely connected because socialism basically controls property rights through rules and regulations and laws and ordinances the government puts in place. And then communism, actually the government just owns everything. So they're very closely connected. But people think in America that socialism is about free stuff. And it isn't. The carrot is free stuff. The carrot is we're going to take from somebody else and we're going to give you some free stuff. But ultimately, socialism comes down to you have to have people work. The difference between socialism and capitalism is that socialism keeps most of the fruits of that labor, most of those property rights, most of the right to your property, where under capitalism, people get to keep most of the fruits of their labor. So on socialism, they have to have workers. Ultimately, then, if you take this out into the future and you don't have enough workers, people on the ends of the spectrum start to become expendable. I know that's kind of hard to believe, but that's actually what happens.
Yeah, the socialism is communism light. Socialism is the in the old days, it was the marijuana, it was the pathway to heroin. I mean, whether you believe that or not, well, the fact is that we do see a progression from socialism into communism. And the only difference is that the socialism that we're experiencing in America and that we have been experiencing for decades, it's not a new phenomenon. It's been going left for a long time. That socialism believes in taxation because it takes money from the private economy, the individuals, the private sector, private business, and it brings that money into a federal government, a bureaucracy that's enormous, and then that federal government makes a decision on where to allocate it, and like you said earlier, choose winners and losers. It's not a very effective process when the money is taken from the individual who earned it and goes to a bureaucrat to be redistributed. In fact, that's highly socialistic. That is not a constitutional republic that this nation started as. And along with our constitutional republic came capitalism. They're hand in hand. And capitalism is simple. It is you and me making our own decisions to benefit ourselves. And you know what? If you do that, if you're always making a decision to benefit you or your family, you'll be making the right decision. And people will say, well, what does that mean? That means you'll steal from somebody. No, it does not mean that. In fact, capitalism has a higher moral and ethical ground than does the federal government's control of your money and your efforts. Capitalism demands that you look to the future and you say, you know what, there is a God or an all-important being or karma, whichever religion you believe in, great, or philosophy, and I am required as an individual to move in the most ethical manner that I possibly can, to deal with my fellow man in a fair manner. Now, if this fellow man is trying to kill me, I have every right to kill him back, right? I have every right to defend myself. That's not murder. That's killing. And the commandment says, thou shalt not commit murder. So when we, and I'm going far afield here, and I forgive me for this, but the fact is that capitalism goes with a constitutional republic, ideally. In fact, they spring from one another. The reason is that capitalism recognizes the sanctity of the individual, the right of the individual to keep what he or she has earned and to spend it as they see fit, in a manner that they see fit, and not be coerced by a federal government. So socialism is the government taking over. We are a socialistic nation today, folks. We are not a capitalistic nation. We are not free. And that's the first realization we need to make. Communism goes one step further and says, okay, you no longer have the right to your property. I'm going to take it over. And that is the template for China, Russia, all these other communist regimes who, by the way, have all failed, and except for China, and that's inevitable at some point. So there is a very close correlation between socialism, actually fascism, and communism. The difference is that fascism doesn't take the means of production, they take the production. So you're allowed to have your factory, but the fascists will decide what you'll make, when you'll make it, and they take all the profits from the factory. Fascism and communism are not right and left. They're just control. And that's the underlying theme of socialism, fascism, communism, monarchy, dictatorship, totalitarianism, is control of you. The opposite is freedom.
And somebody said to me recently that because they talk about capitalists as they are greedy, and I think it was Thomas Sowell, is how is it greedy that I want to keep most of the fruits of my labor? It seems like that makes sense. But one of the greatest sins is not love of money, but love of the unearned. And our desire for the unearned. And that really has stuck with me, because when people talk about having somebody else pay for decisions they made, then that is the desire of the unearned. What's your final thought on that, Jay Davidson? We're just about out of time.
Well, I think evil does spring from love of money, like evil springs from love of power and control and so forth. I mean, these are excesses, terms of excess. There's nothing wrong with using money as a tool and we should be using it as a tool, but it's not the be-all, the end-all. If I have more money than you, then I'm not better than you, I'm different, big deal, or less in the case. And then it goes a step deeper, like you said. If you covet your neighbor's property or your wife or whatever, that is a cardinal sin. And when you covet other people's success and say, I want to steal that through taxation or redistribution of wealth and so forth, you know, that's absolutely against the commandments, whether 10 or 613 of them.
Okay, Jay Davidson, always love these conversations. I so thank you for your sponsorship, partnership of the show as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Keep up the good work. Sure appreciate it.
Okay, and I wish you and your whole family a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And our quote for today is from Lawrence Kudlow. He said, now that you know my credo, free market capitalism is the best path to prosperity. And let me add to that from our founding fathers. Our Creator endowed us with the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, freedom. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.